You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I just put it up on my Christopher D. Simone Facebook page, where, of course, if you don't listen to the show and you're friends with me on Facebook, you thought it was actually my birthday yesterday, which is always kind of cute. So I was like, have a great day. That's okay. They meant well. You know, they're just, Zucker gives them the little box and says, fill in the box. And they go, okay, I'll fill in the box. We're just talking about Kurt Schlichter's piece about the mainstream media and their, how do I describe it? Their meltdown during this whole thing.
Amazing. Played.
My buddy Jim Horn up in Oral Valley, who does the Oral Valley podcast, says, too much news, you're right, because we have too many outlets chasing too little news.
Right. Trying to make something out of not much.
The David Schweikert's coming up in the next segment, and then we have, oh, look at that, even better. David Schweikert's here. And then after David Schweikert is the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf. So, when we let's go right to the magic phone lines, Congressman David Schweikert.
The phones are working today. Look at that.
Oh, my. I'll believe it when I hear Schweikert's beautiful dulcet tones.
Let's see.
David?
He's over here.
Are you over here?
Yeah.
Wow. What are you doing over there? Gee, okay. There you are.
It's somebody else's
phone. All right. So, Dad, I at least delivered the morning joke.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Did. You hit a button and went to a different line?
Yep.
David,
all right.
David, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, may I make a suggestion?
Always.
We did a telephone town hall yesterday, or last night, and all we did was saying we're talking to, you know, self-employed, independent contractors, small business, and we walked everyone through the different pieces of legislation, the types of loans, the you know, employee PPP, you know, program, and all these things that Congress has passed in the last week or two. And we've never had that type of participation on a telephone town hall before. It might be interesting, take a bit of one of your mornings for 15 minutes. Let's walk through all the things that are available for your small businesses and your entrepreneurs
now
to get over the next month.
One of my questions is, because it's interesting, so Dan Shearer, Green Valley News editor, sent me the AP story after the vote on the stimulus, and he said, you know, great, you know, you were featured as a quote in the AP story, and it's something you repeated on the show, which you said on the show, which is it breaks your heart to vote for some of the things in this bill. What are some of the things in this bill that break your heart? And then let's get to some of the things that are that people need to know about.
Look, we have a running joke in our family that Democrats are professionals, and then there's Republicans. To be able to use one of the most difficult times in modern history economically, where we're just, you know, we're trying to dial back the growth of this virus, and to use it to put in money for things that aren't related to economic stability. Traditionally, if that was a normal day, a normal piece of legislation, you'd throw a temper tantrum and you'd walk away from it. But in this case, you had a world where you're being given a single chance. Everyone was about to get on airplanes and leave. There was no opportunity to negotiate or try to use procedural motions or other things. It just, that's not the way the process is supposed to work. But you have an obligation to find some way to protect your state and your community. And so sometimes a bad vote is still the best vote.
A friend of mine said, imagine if a Republican put a brand new missile in there for $38 billion or something like that on the defense side, they'd get crucified in the press.
Oh, yeah. Look, we have to accept modern media is become somewhat duplicitous. But look, if you're one of the newspapers, the big newspapers in Arizona, who's your readership now? Conservatives over the last decade have unsubscribed. They don't go out and buy the Star or the Republic. They just don't. So if you're going to stay in business, do you write a paper to the audience you have?
Yes.
And, you know, so I mean, it's not irrational, but you sort of wish you'd just admit it, saying, hey, we figured out that, you know, 68% of our readers are all on the left. We're not going to say things that offend them because we need to keep them subscribing so we can stay in business. So understand we're a left-wing newspaper. So admit it.
Well, I have a friend of mine who she's retired from the Arizona Republic, and she was talking to one of her folks that still work there. And they're telling her that what's the Phoenix metro area right now? 4.1.
Yeah, about 4 million.
4 mil, right? And she's telling me that this person said they're at an 80,000 circulation on a Sunday.
Yep, which is stunning, and it may be lower than that. So think of this. Now, it's only a weekly, but the Catholic Sun is by far the most circulated newspaper in Arizona now.
Wow.
Help you put things in perspective. But I want to back up a little bit.
Back to niche journalism, as we say.
No, I actually want to back away from that for a second. Let's actually take a little block of time, and we'll do it for you. We're really good at this. And walk people through, here's how you get the SBA emergency loan. Here's how that PPP loan, that if you follow certain rules, it gets written off and you don't have to pay it back. Because I know you have an audience of lots of entrepreneurs and little business owners.
How much time do you need for something like that?
Probably 10, 15 minutes to just do a quick run through. But if anyone's listening and you need those bits of information, go to my website, and I know my last name is tough. It's Schweikert. It's S-C-H-W-E-I-K-E-R-T. You can Google it. It'll pop up. But on our official website, the schweikert.house.gov, every couple hours, we're updating it. The team is working their hearts out. And so if you want to know if you're going to get a stimulus check, the information will be on there. We got the word yesterday that even people on Social Security are going to get one, whether you filed a tax return or not. How do you get the emergency loan from the SBA of the $10,000? How do you get the longer term from the SBA? Do you qualify for that PPP loan that you have to go through your local lender? But that's the one, if you follow certain rules, the money gets written off. And all that information's on the website. Remember, our goal is to get our businesses to survive the next few weeks. Try to keep as many employees as you can, and the federal government's putting out money to help you do it.
How long do I have you today?
How long do you need me?
So let's see. I got Secretary Wolf calling at what time?
My 4-year-old just came in to say hi to you.
All right, so I got Homeland Security.
Olivia.
I got Homeland Security calling at 7:45. So let's do a couple of segments and see if we can get some of this info out. Okay.
All right. Let's do some of this.
All right, Congressman David Schweikert, if you got a question for Dave, 790-2040. Wake up Tucson, 10:30. The Voice. We're going to get to some real meat of things that you need to know. Now, just to tell you about all these great voters in America, how many people have viewed the peanut butter and jelly song at Alexander?
29 million.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. More than watch the nightly news.
Get alive, folks. Yeah, get alive. 7:21 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We are catching up with Congressman David Schweikert. So, David, give us the summary for the listeners right now of what was in this bill that's going to help them.
Well, let's actually do it in a fashion of if you're running a small business, and first, I'm terrified by your bumper music.
As you should be.
That was the whole idea.
So let's say you're the realtor, you're the person that drives an Uber, or you're the antique store on Speedway. All of those, there's multiple programs to help you try to keep the wheels on. For anyone out there that's running a small business, one of the first things I would do today is I would go on the SBA, Small Business Administration's website, and you can get the link through my website or just spend some time on a search engine and find it. In the middle of that website is a button, coronavirus, emergency aid, da-da-da-da. Hit that, And the reason you want to just start that application on there is that's a first come, first serve. So you want to sort of get in the queue, even if you haven't put in all your information. You're not obligated to take the money. So if it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now and you get the notice back saying, hey, we looked at your information, you qualify for this sort of loan, do you want to take it? You don't have to, or you could postpone taking it. But just sort of getting in line, it makes sense.
Okay.
They also, on that same, have a $10,000 really quick emergency. So if you're up against payroll, the wheels are about to come off, you need something quickly. And none of this is recourse. It's not based on your credit score. It's sort of based on what you say your business activity has been. And that's on the Small Business Administration's website.
Okay.
What was done last week, you've heard of this loan that gets forgiven if you keep your employees. There's a few more rules that go around that. So it's referred to often as the PPP loan. On that, you have to go to an SBA lender starting tomorrow. And it's going to be tiered. So tomorrow, yes, for small businesses, then a week later, sort of independent contractors and others can also start applying. What's unique about this is we've never really had a time where you're the Uber driver and you could go and actually qualify as the employee. So there's some of these things. The rules around that, you need to spend 75% of the money over that 8-week period of time once you take the money, and you can choose to delay taking it. 75% of the money needs to go to payroll. Now, that's not just salaries. That could be also the health coverage, the other vacation accounts, whatever your total load cost is on that. And 25% of the money you can spend on your rent, your utilities. If you're a business that does transportation, you can spend it on the transportation costs. So, and if you follow the rules on that, they'll actually write off the loan. So you don't have to pay that one back.
Hey,
and so there's some mechanisms. Everyone's going to walk you through it, suggesting, hey, if you're going to get that PPP loan, set up a second checking account. Run everything through that, because that sort of makes the audit trail on it really, really simple.
Quick question. What if you're like a kind of more of like a micro business kind of contractor kind of thing? Where would you send that person? Is there help for that person, who's kind of that small micro business, one or two employees, owner employee?
Both of these, everything from the one at the SBA to even that one you would get from your SBA lender. Remember, one is the Small Business Administration's website is where you go for that loan. And then certain lenders do SBA loans. And that one you can start going to as of tomorrow. I would actually pursue both.
Okay.
Something else that's also going to be unique is in Arizona, if you right now went on the Department of Public Service, DES's Department of Economic Services website and filled out an unemployment application, it's $240 a week. For a short time, the federal government is going to backstop that and put some money on top of it, an additional $600. This is the first time where you can be a self-employed. So you could be, that micro business or those things. And if you come in and say, look, the bottom has fallen out, we have no more business, the likelihood is you will qualify for that. Also, there's going to be the stimulus checks coming out very shortly. And we got some information last night. Originally, if you were someone that was retired, and you had not been filing a tax return, you were going to have to go file some sort of 2019 tax return so you were in the system. The administration last night worked out a way where Social Security will send the information to the IRS, just saying these people exist, they have a qualified Social Security number, and so you no longer have to file anything. So if you're that 75-year-old who doesn't file a tax return anymore because you just basically live on the Social Security income, you're going to get that stimulus check.
And what's the amounts on the stimulus check, Dave? What are they looking like?
It's $1,200. And if you have a dependent, not a dependent adult, but one that would have been on your tax return, you get an additional $500 for each of those dependents.
So $1,200 per person, adult in the household, plus...
Plus $500 for the children. Now, there are some other rules. If you make $75,000 or over, it starts to taper down. And once you get to $99,000, it ends. So up till $75,000 is $1,200. And then if you make over $75,000, it starts to taper down up to $99,000, and then it goes away.
Gotcha. So anyone over $100,000 is not getting that check.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, I mean, I hope it's just, it's important. And there's going to be unique details. Like this morning, we were working with a little business in the Phoenix area that just started. They started in January. We're trying to figure out how we help them because they got all organized, got going. They had these contracts, and then, boom, they hit the wall.
All right. I got a quick question for you, then we got to go to break. What is Treasury saying on timing of those checks, of those $1,200 and $500 checks? What do they say? What do you think?
I think those actually will start to show up in people's bank accounts probably in about a week.
Okay. All right. David, this is I'm getting so much positive response from people about the meat of the great knowledge you're giving here. So we totally appreciate it. I'm going to abuse you for one more segment, okay?
Sure. And I'm sorry to geek out. But when we come back, we're going to encourage people once again, go to our website. We're killing ourselves to keep the most up-to-date, and we're doing it simple. We're doing one-pagers that are really easy to absorb, and then the staff will answer any questions. So let's go to break.
All right, CBS News, we're doing one more segment with Congressman Schweikert, and then coming up is Director of Homeland Security for the United States, Chad Wolf. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Our website is schweikert.house.gov.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We are getting some great information from U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. David, we got about 10 more minutes. What's the next chunk of good information you want to get out to the folks?
Look, and there is a model out there that, let's say you're a small business in Tucson, and you have a number of employees, and you actually like and love your employees, and it's breaking your heart having to put furlough, there is a way saying, okay, there's these enhanced unemployment benefits for a little while now. Maybe the smart thing to do, and we're making the assumption that your business is now shut down, to do that furlough for a while, let them pull those enhanced benefits while you're going out and getting that PPP loan, getting that all organized. So 5 weeks from now or a month from now, whenever your timing is, you can bring them back and use that money to basically start to get your business back, you know, going. And you have 8 weeks of that. And if you follow the rules, do that ratio of, hey, 75% of that money is, and that money can go up to like $4 million, depending on the size of your business and those things. But this is for businesses that are under 500 employees. So I think that qualifies as our small business.
Absolutely, sir.
But you can also spend 25% of those dollars on paying your rent, you know, your utilities, other things. If you happen to be a landlord, please get online, pull down our one-pager that's on our website on these different programs or these things that are available, and give them to your tenants. It's one of the things is you may be the world's greatest dry cleaner, but you probably don't spend your life understanding how SBA programs and what Congress just did. You're just trying to keep the wheels on. It's really important that if you're getting worried that, hey, you happen to own this little strip center or you're the property manager or you make your living, it's not enough to complain. You need to get this information and start getting it in distribution and helping each other.
Right.
Because the benefit of that PPP loan is it's primarily designed so you have some ability to keep your employees or bring back your furloughed employees.
Right.
But you get to spend a quarter of that money on your other costs. So if you're the landlord, you like that because some of that money might come to you as your rent. So I'm trying to help folks understand it's not enough to just say, well, you should go do that. You all need to be helping each other get these things organized. And you may actually want to find a couple lenders you have in the Tucson area that do lots of SBA loans, whether it be the community bank or someone even bigger that does, and bring them on the air and have them talk through the application process, which begins tomorrow.
Okay. That's a great idea. So we will find somebody for, hopefully maybe we can just get them on to do a quick call in tomorrow and just as the timing of it. So if anyone knows, has a good connection, I got a couple, but if anyone has a good connection of a community bank person that does SBAs, let us know at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. We'll get them on immediately. So tell me about the next 2 to 4 weeks here in relation to flattening the curve and all this stuff. What are you guys getting in your position? What are you seeing? And you're a guy who does numbers well.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
Instead of having the guy whose life is taxes and trade and Medicare finance try to speculate on the curve, University of Washington, and you can Google this, has put out all 50 states an interactive sort of chart. And the beauty of this chart is you can put in Arizona, and it will tell you how many ICU beds we have and how many are required for the expectation. And you'll see Arizona is in really good shape. The only thing, according to the curve, we need is we need a few hundred more ventilators. And if we were to get 500 additional ventilators, we actually, according to the University of Washington model, which is the one now most people are using, Arizona is actually in fairly good shape. And dear God, we're all hopeful that within the next couple of weeks, we start to, you know, see FDA say, we think these drug protocols, to our best guess, are helpful in mitigating people who, you know, where their body is attacking their own lungs. Being a severe asthmatic, I'm a little sensitive to this.
Sure.
But that University of Washington model says, hey, if not till sort of the ending part of April, that Arizona has hit its peak and starts to decline. So it sort of gives you a sense of sort of that timing. But my guess is everything we know right now will look a bit different in 2 weeks.
Right.
Because will there be a drug protocol? Will we have finally starting to test people saying, hey, it looks like you've already had the coronavirus, so you were assuming you have certain immunities, so you would be a great person to be able to engage in these other activities. Will we start to get some other knowledge that we can use to start to open up more parts of the economy? But, you know, being hopeful is not policy.
Right.
It's just sort of aspirational.
I guess the question I have is, like you said, 2 weeks from now, we're going to hopefully know a lot more, good and or bad. But when there's the time has to come to kind of start opening up America again for business, I assume that has to be done on a regional basis, correct? There can't be any like national, we're all open again. I don't see how that happens.
I'm not sure I'd even think of it that way. And listening to Dr. Fauci and some of the economists we have on joint economics, which is another thing I'll encourage you to do if you want to geek out a little bit, sign up for our newsletter. We do two of them. We do the one from our office, which is, you know, hey, here's all the things we're doing. Here's all the resources to find these things. Another newsletter we produce substantially out of our office is something called the Joint Economic Committee, the sort of the Republican version, because I'm the senior Republican on that.
Right.
And a lot of that we're putting out here's what we expect over the next couple months economically. It's pretty rough. But here's also what we're modeling of how fast the economy is going to snap back. So your question is it less regional or almost down to, hey, this community looks like they had widespread, but now they're on the decline. How do you open up things without creating a second wave?
Correct.
Are we going to see a substantial fall in the numbers, particularly in places like Arizona when it starts to get hot?
Right.
And there's some history of that. Last night, I couldn't sleep, as always. I was reading about the 1957 pandemic. How many of you have even heard of the 1957? But in 1957...
Only Barney did.
The model is we think we had about 116,000 Americans die at a time when we had only, what, about 170,000?
Sure.
Or, excuse me,
170 million
Americans. So you think about that as a percentage of the population.
Wow.
And that's worth sort of looking at those sort of things and understanding here's how they tracked.
All right, we got to take one quick call from a listener, and then this is a real quick question answer, and then I got to go because I got the Homeland Security Secretary calling in.
Our job is to try to be helpful.
So, Al, real quick, buddy, what do you got for Congressman Schweikert?
My question, Congressman, is I'm a 1099 guy, and what happens if I catch it or something and can't go out and do my job?
The interesting thing is this is the first time we changed the rules on the unemployment insurance. You as a 1099 guy, so a self-employed guy, you now qualify for unemployment. You also, if you, as you run your business, because I don't know if you're 1099 sort of truly just self-employed or you're a contract worker to someone else, you could actually, if you run the business as yourself, you can actually pursue those loans. Or if you're an independent contractor, so you're in 1099, but you work, you provide services to a business, you actually qualify for them to go get that PPP loan, and they can pay your wages, even though you're a 1099 employee. So it's not just W-2 employees, it's also 1099 or independent contractors who work with your business.
All right. So,
well, thank you very much, Congressman.
Al,
no. It's just David.
Al, thanks for the call, man. Keep it up, David. Thanks for the great info.
You guys too, and be safe.
You too, buddy. We're gonna clip this.
I'm happy to do this anytime if it's helpful over the next couple of weeks to get this information out.
All right, buddy. Well, stay sane out there. I'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye now.
Congressman David Schweikert. We're going to send me a clip of that before it's over. I'll have the boy YouTube that. And
KK.
It's so, good stuff will get out. So when we come back, Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. What an amazing three segments with Congressman David Schweikert. So he just laid out everything you need to know to access some of the stimulus money to, you know, keep your business or your small business and your household afloat. So let's go right to the phones. We have Acting Secretary Homeland Security Chad Wolf. Chad, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you this morning.
So this is something you never thought when you became Acting Homeland Secretary that you'd be dealing with. Well, you knew it was in the possibly pandemic, but who knew we were going to do this?
I think that's right. We at the department, we're certainly prepared for a lot of contingencies. That's part of our mission. We're part of FEMA's mission to respond to man-made and natural disasters. This is a little different that we're all responding to at the moment, though.
Let's talk about supply chain real quick, because we all feel like if we could get, you know, stuff on the shelves, right, that we could reduce the panic by about 57.4%. Talk about the supply chain in America right now.
Sure, absolutely. So we've got a couple of different things that we're looking at. I think what's on everyone's mind is personal protective equipment, or what we call PPE. And so we are really doing a number of things on that front to make sure that we get supplies to the hot spots, to the areas of the country that need it first, but make sure that we get all of those supplies to every state, to every governor, so that they can prepare their residents accordingly. And so we've certainly done that in Arizona, but we continue to prioritize the hot spots, places like New York City, places in California, New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, and other areas where we're seeing upticks in the virus. And so we're trying to, I talk about energizing the supply chain. We're taking a lot of supplies that are made overseas. Most of the PPE, the gowns, the masks, the gloves, those are usually made overseas. And we're working with those medical distributors to make sure that we get that supply into the U.S. a much quicker time frame than we'd normally do. Normally, those supplies come over on maritime cargo ships, take anywhere from 30 to 37 days to come across the Pacific. We're getting that equipment into the states, into those hotspots in a matter of hours. So we've developed an air bridge. Those are constant flights taking off from Asia, landing in the U.S. so that we get this critical PPE to the places that need it most.
How much of that is coming from the folks in China?
There is some coming from China. There's some coming from Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia. And again, it's not necessarily the U.S. Finding new contracts. These are we're working with the distributors, American companies that have contracts in place for this type of equipment going in, talking to them, and again, seeing how we can energize their existing supply chain. We want to take advantage of systems that they already have, product they're already purchasing for the U.S., and what we do is we come in on top of that and make sure that that's getting allocated to the right places in the U.S. so they're not going to hospitals and states and counties that perhaps don't have any cases or very small cases where, we've identified about 80, 84 counties in the U.S. that are hot spots at the moment, and we need to make sure that we surge resources there.
We're talking to Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf here on 1030 Voice Local News and Talk. Let's talk about the border right now. I mean, Tucson, Arizona, we're only a 40-minute jaunt to the U.S.-Mexican border in Nogales. Let's talk about increase in trade at the border. Give me the state of the border right now.
Sure. So in response to the COVID pandemic, what we did with the Mexican government about a week and a half ago was to limit that non-essential travel across our borders. Now, what we wanted to do with that and what I've been talking to folks about is we made that decision so that we could keep our borders open. I think it's been inaccurately described as trying to close the borders. We're trying to keep that legitimate trade and traffic open, making sure that we have the supply chain, we can keep the lights on, and make sure that essential critical functions continue to function here in the U.S., while at the same time limiting that non-essential travel for tourism, recreation, and for a variety of other reasons. So what we've seen is that largely has been working. We've seen overall numbers of pedestrians and passenger vehicles decrease pretty significantly, both on the southern border and the northern border, while at the same time keeping the legitimate trade and travel essentially about the same percentage, if not ticking up. We see increases on certain days where we actually see an increase in the amount of that legal trade and travel coming across the border.
I know they're not testing as much as we are, but what's the COVID-19 situation in Mexico right now?
Well, they certainly have an increase of cases that they're looking at. It's something that we're tracking pretty closely, not only with our Mexican counterparts, but also with our Canadian counterparts, trying to understand what their health infrastructure will look like. And then, of course, we're closely tracking the individuals that are coming in, and we've taken pretty aggressive action on the number of illegal folks that are coming across that border every day. We have new authorities granted to us by CDC. We are returning individuals that are coming across illegally in a matter of minutes, and we're doing that for the protection of not only other migrants that perhaps are coming across, but also for DHS frontline officers, CBP officers in the area, and for the American people at writ large. So we don't want to put those individuals into our facilities, which are not designed for this type of pandemic. So we need to make sure that they are removed and repatriated in a very short period of time.
And my last question is, are we doing anything in relation to supply chain, getting more stuff from Mexico to come up to support what's going on in the U.S., or is that we're still doing what we're doing?
Well, I would say that the easiest way to answer that is we are looking at all sources from every country. So I know we had a flight come in from Honduras, I believe, 2 days ago into Miami that delivered either gloves or gowns. So we are sourcing the PPE equipment from anywhere that we can find it. We have folks in FEMA working around the clock to identify, again, not only to energize what I talked about earlier, the existing supply chains, but also looking for that new PPE equipment. But I will say that, you know, we've got almost every country in the world also looking for that same amount of equipment on the same time frames that that we are as well. So it's a challenge, but it's one that we are we're aggressively pursuing.
All right. Well, Chad, thanks for doing what you and everyone at Homeland's doing. We appreciate your efforts. Thanks for calling in, and let's talk again for another update in a couple of weeks if possible.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
All right. That's Acting Secretary Homeland Security Chad Wolf giving us a little bit of the 411, as we say in the old days, about what's going on. And well, that was a hell of an hour of good meat information already. So
thank you.
And Bruce Ash already gave me a good name of someone to try to get on tomorrow for SBA loans. So
you got somebody in mind. I'll make sure that's what they're doing. And
so, but we will take the Congress. Maybe I need to take both. Take Congressman Schweikert and Chad and put them all in one mega mix of this hour so that people can listen to. It'll be on our if any of your friends missed the Schweikert thing of all of these different resources, and the way David explains things is so good. Go to our podcast page, kvoi.com. Hit the podcast. Remember to tell them second hour. Just listen to the second hour, and you'll see that there's such great meat that Dave gave us yesterday. Previously. So now, of course, the other thing. So the number one response I got from David's appearance is, well, I'm so happy he did this. The second one is, do we have any congressional representatives in Arizona that are going on anyone's show to do this?
Has anybody heard from Ann Kirkpatrick since she came back from whatever that was that got in her way for 3 months? She's got an office on Swan. Has anybody seen or heard anything from Ann Kirkpatrick? Crickets, thank you.
I don't have a cricket sound.
Damn it. You don't need it. It's just dang crickets. It's like, come on, what kind of representation do we have?
Well, how about the big RG? Where's he at?
Oh, Raul. Oh, well, he's trying to shut down other stuff. He just shut down the Grand Canyon. So now we're all...
He does want to shut.
We're all safe again. Okay? He's got nothing to say. Okay? What does he come out and help to do anything to help you, me, or anybody else in southern Arizona? He closed the Grand Canyon. Thank you very much.
Did that actually happen?
Yes.
No, they actually closed it? I know he asked for it.
Closed public after... Oh. Yep, they did. Closed comes a day after I was going to be on the news. A resident in South Rim tested positive for coronavirus.
Hey, ask me about the lady congressman. Ask that question. Why want to do the bit?
Has anybody heard from Ann Kirkpatrick? Ooh, one cricket. Thank you. Christian Cinema? Martha McSally? I don't know. What are we doing?
I don't know if Martha's... I know she's making the rounds, so at least Martha's reaching out. Cinema, no.
Not this time.
I haven't seen anything from Cinema, but again...
Or Raul.
But that was the number one thing response I got. The congressman from... Well, we've heard this before. The congressman from Phoenix is giving us more better direct information about how to help yourself through this process than all of our local officials combined.
Make a note.
All right. When we come back, we got an author called Sidney Powell. It's called The Conviction Machine. We're going to talk about that. And then I have this great piece. You thought the piece from Schlichter was good about the ridiculous
media.
It
was good. That was in the 6 o'clock hour.
I emailed that out to a bunch of you. If you want it, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. It's up on my Facebook page right now. Christopher D. Simone. The next one, Bill Bennett. Time for a second opinion when it comes to coronavirus. Wake up.